when the sister, whose name was Kusi, saw that, she came up to them as a stranger, not to tell them that that is her brother, to say, do you want a woman who will breastfeed this child and the child will take her milk? They said yes, because the child is crying for milk and he will take the milk of no woman. So she went and she told her mother. And her mother entered the palace of Pharaoh being a stranger to her own baby. She could not let them know that is her child. Allah says in the Holy Quran, thus we comforted her heart and soul and allowed her to feed her own child in the palace of Pharaoh, and they did not know that was her child. And they hired her, and every day she used to go to the palace and breastfeed her own little baby and leave. And after some time, then the incident occurs where Musa alayhi salam grew up as in the palace as the adopted son of Pharaoh. Look at Musa alayhi salam, a Nabi and the adopted son of Pharaoh. They adopted him as their son. And the entire history went on. So what the Mufassir is stating here is that Allah revealed a form of communication to the mother of Musa. But she was not a prophet. But it was a form of wahi. So just as that wahi was sent to her and she was not a prophet, it is a like manner that was sent to Yusuf alayhi salam, that he was not yet a prophet but Allah communicated to him. Other commentators, famous commentators of the Holy Quran whose names are very famous, Ibn Jarir and Ibn Abi Hatim, they say that this wahi and revelation was a revelation of prophethood. But unlike all other prophets, this was special to Yusuf alayhi salam as it was special to Isa alayhi salam. Because in the Holy Quran states that Isa alayhi salam received the communication from Allah from a very, very early age, from childhood. He was in the cradle and the words of Allah came flowing on his tongue, and just a few minutes ago he came on the face of the earth. That he was speaking, Inni Abdullah, and those words are in the Holy Quran. So it is just like that wahid which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. However, whatever it is, wa awhayna, Allah revealed to Yusuf alayhi salam while he was falling down in the depths of the well, O Yusuf, do not be scared, do not be frightened. Allah will take you out of this. You will not be harmed, but one day it's gonna happen. You will be the one to tell them of the plot they made against you, and they would know about it. So Yusuf alayhi salam, it is stated that Yusuf alayhi salam remained 3 days in the well, all alone by himself. Allahu Akbar. A young little child. 3 days in the dark depths of the well, on a stone. Water is rising and the place is very cold. And the brothers went back. They forgot about him. And they left him there because they wanted him out of his sight. The big brother was the one who felt the most pity for Yusuf alayhi salam, Yehuda. And what Yehuda will do every day, secretly away from the brothers, he will take some food and water and bring it for his little brother. And tie it in the bucket with another rope and send it down for his brother, and he will go back. He cannot allow the other brothers to know about it because he will be taken to task for that. While Yusuf alayhi salam was there, the same day they had thrown him in the well, what happened? Allah says, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبُكُونَ. They came to their father at the time of Isha, at night, crying and weeping, make-believe weeping, tears flowing from their eyes. When the father looked at them, he was inside and he heard the weeping. He came out. He said, what has happened to you? Has the wolves attacked your animals? They used to graze their sheep and the goats. He looked around and he said, he saw there is no Yusuf.
Yaqub alaihi salam had a lot of love for Yusuf. A lot of love. His love was overwhelming and overflowing for Yusuf alaihi salam. A lot of love for him. The Holy Quran, we will say in Surah Yusuf, that from the day he missed Yusuf, he wept every day until he became blind out of weeping in separation of Yusuf alayhi salam, his son. But he never gave up hopes. And he always prayed that one day Allah will bring back his Yusuf for him. They came to him crying and weeping. He said to them, "Where is Yusuf?" قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا They said, "Oh, our father, إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَقُنَا يُوسُفَ عِنَّ مَتَاعِنَا We went running race with each other. We went about running race with each other. And we left Yusuf at our goods. We left Yusuf close to the things we have brought. Foodstuff and other things. And what happened? فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّبْ And a wolf came up and ate him. They played on the psychology of the father. So they realized that the father had a fear of a wolf. So they brought up the wolf in the pit here. That the wolf ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا They made it clear to the father saying, But you will not believe us. You will not believe us. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ Even if we are speaking the truth. They are telling their father. Even though we are speaking the truth, you wouldn't believe us. You wouldn't have iman and belief in what we are saying. So how will they prove that the wolf had really eaten up Yusuf alayhi salam? What they did. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ They came with the coat of Yusuf alayhi salam. بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ With false blood. With false blood. What they did is that they killed an animal, a sheep, and they mixed the coat with the blood. And they brought it for the father, saying that, look, the animal ate him up. Look how his quarter is stained with blood. But the father was a Nabi. And the father was very intelligent, because Allah only chooses intelligent people to become Anbiya's. And from the time the father, he looked at the blood, he got the scent, he realized this is not human blood. And the other thing, is that if a wolf attacks the human being, the wolf will rip up and tear apart the quota, but the quota does not have any portion in it which is torn. It is good, complete, no tear on that. So when the father saw that, he realized immediately they were lying. Immediately he realized they were lying. So he said to them, Qala The father said, "Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra." Nay, it is but your own souls have enticed you upon something. Your own nafs caused you to do something. This is not the truth. But what you have done, I do not know. So as for me, fasabrun jamil. Patience is the most beloved thing to me right now. I will bear patience. Inshallah, one day, Yusuf will come back to me. How long it takes, whatever time, how far Yusuf is, whether Yusuf is being fed, whether he is starving, the father is worried. But, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ Patience is the best thing. It is beautiful to me. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ And Allah is the helper upon that which you describe. In other words, what you have described, that is not the truth. But if what you are saying, there is any truth in it about anything, then Allah is the helper. Allah will remove that. Allah will take care of the affair that you are making up. So this is what happened on that side. Allama Mawardi, a very great scholar from the scholars of the past, mentioned that it is a very amazing thing that three amazing incidents occurred with the kurta of Yusuf. Qamis. Qamis means kurta. Three amazing things which is mentioned in Surah Yusuf. The first is where they dipped it in the blood and brought it before the father. Okay. And the father said, realize that this is falsehood. The other one is where Zulaikha, the wife of the wazir, the governor, tried to seduce him. And she pulled his kurta. And it became torn. And the case was presented before the wazir. Because the governor, when he saw Yusuf, Yusuf was running away from her, and we'll come to that. So she made up a story and said, what do you think about a man who wants to commit a sin with your wife? Yusuf alayhi salam pleaded innocent. It's her, not me. She wanted to seduce me, so he was running away. Allah caused it to happen that a small child from the family of the wazir, the governor, bore witness. What was the witness? The child started to speak, a young child. Hikmat and wisdom. O wazir, look at the kurta of Yusuf. If his kurta is torn from in front, then what she is saying is the truth and he is a liar. But if the kurta is torn from behind, then he is truthful and she is a liar. When the governor looked at it, his kurta was torn from behind. So he realized Yusuf is free from what is alleged against him. And the third thing, when eventually his brothers reached the land of Misr and Egypt, and the truth came in the open, at that time he gave his kurta to his brothers and said, pass this over the eyes of my father, his sight will be restored. And they were still on the way. When they did not reach at home at yet, when the father is saying to his other children, Inni ajidu riha Yusuf, I smell the scent of Yusuf coming towards me. The kurta. And when they reached and they passed the kurta over his eyes, immediately his eyesight was restored. So it's ajib, it's amazing that three beautiful incidents are connected to the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salam. So the father said that sabar is the best thing for me. I will have patience. What happened? Yusuf alayhi salam is in the well. They are at home. They are happy they have gotten rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. When that is happening, the Holy Quran says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَى وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ, and some travelers came. Some travelers were passing by. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ, and they send their water drawer. Warid in Arabic literally means the one who goes and rides in front of a caravan. Normally, you know, in the days when they used to travel, horses and camel, the caravan is going, someone used to be in front, and he will ensure that the path is clear, everything is okay. He's called a warid. And a warid also means a person who goes to fetch water. And they send their warid, the water drawer, فَأَدَلَى دَلْوَهُ, and he let down his bucket. The incident is that there was this caravan traveling from Syria to Egypt. And while they were on that road, they were, you know, it was not roads that are made like today. It's the desert. It's the jungle. And you take a wrong road, you will, you know, you will be lost. So it so happened that they made an error. And they forgot the path they had to take. And eventually they reached in the jungle. When they reached in the jungle, the people of the caravan said to that person who is the water drawer,
fetch us some water. There is a well there. The Mufassirin have stated, look how Allah has brought all these incidents together. When Yahuda wanted a well, he had chosen a far remote well in the jungle to throw Yusuf. These people, unbelievers will say, coincidentally lost the path. Not coincidentally, it was the decree of Allah. He said, crying out with joy, Ya Bushra! Oh, how joyous is this occasion! Hada Ghulam! Look at this young boy. This is a young boy. One tafsir is that Bushra was the name of the Amir of the caravan. And he called out to him, Oh Bushra, this is a bucket, this is not water. I sent down the bucket to fetch water and a boy comes up. So, the Holy Quran says, وَأَصَرُّوهُ بِالضُّعَى And they kept it a secret. They kept him as a secret, بِالضُّعَةً as a merchandise. What does it mean? Two commentaries here. One is that when that person who went to fetch the water saw the young boy, he did not want to disclose it to the entire caravan. Why? Because if this person is sold as a slave, then the money will have to be divided among everyone. So he wanted to keep it for himself, so he can say, this is my slave. He can sell it and keep, you know, all the money for himself. So this is one tafsir and commentary of the word wa'asarruhu, and they kept him hidden bi-dha'atan as a merchandise, as an item of trade. They want to sell him now. And the other commentary, which is the more accepted commentary, is that the Yahuda used to be there every day, the bigger brother. The bigger brother used to be there every day, giving water, food. And he was around when these people pulled up the bucket and they caught Yusuf. Their purpose was to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. Upon seeing Yusuf, he feared that Yusuf will tell them the truth. And then Yusuf will be brought back to the father Yaqub, and then the truth will be disclosed and they will be in big trouble. So he called the other brothers, and the other brothers came around. And when they pulled out Yusuf from the well, they started to tell the people of the caravan, this is our slave. What are you doing with our slave? Are you trying to steal our slave? The people of the caravan now started to become scared that lest these people brand us as thieves, because it was, you know, an insult. They were good people. So they said to them, listen, this is our slave and we are willing to sell him to you. We are willing to sell him to you. So they sold Yusuf alayhi salam as a slave. And when the caravan was taking Yusuf alayhi salam, what was his age? 7 years. A 7-year-old child has feelings. Feelings for parents. Feelings of the separation. Feelings to be alone with strangers. And they were taking Yusuf, and Yusuf alayhi salam was weeping and crying out to the brother, save me. I am not a slave. I am not a slave. And then what did the brother say to them? Be careful. He's such a slave that he always runs away. So if you have to carry him with you, you have to tie him. Do not leave him alone. And they tied up poor little Yusuf, like if he was a criminal. And like that, bound in chains, they carried him on the shores of Egypt, where they were going to. And this is the tafsir and the commentary. وَأَصَرُّوهُ And the brothers kept him hidden bidha'atan as an item of merchandise. They did not disclose who Yusuf was, that he was their brother. But they kept him hidden that, listen, he is for sale. He's an item of trade. But the Holy Quran says, "Wallahu alimun bima ya'malun." Allah is fully aware of what they did to Yusuf alayhi salam at that time. All the harms that they had caused to Yusuf alayhi salam, the sadness and the sorrow they brought upon Yusuf, Allah knows very well. Allah is not blind. And he teaches us a lesson that whatever wrong that is done to a person, Allah is fully aware of that. Whatever wrong, harm and injury that is done to a person, Allah is not unmindful. Allah is fully aware of what people do. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا. And they, the brothers, sold him for a very little price, a few dirhams. In the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, according to the riwayat of Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, they sold him for 20 dirhams, 20 silver coins. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And they, in that sale, they were contented with a little. What does it mean? A slave in those days was very, very expensive. And the type of slave it is, even the more the price goes up. It is reported that when Yusuf alayhi salam landed in Yusuf, the people of the caravan put him up for sale. And the worth of Yusuf alayhi salam, the price that was asked for Yusuf alayhi salam, was the weight of Yusuf alayhi salam in gold. That was the value of Yusuf, such a slave. Very expensive. No one could have purchased him because of his price except the governor of Egypt. Allah made it like that. That a Nabi will not go in the home of any and any person. Allah found a home for him also, a respectable, comfortable home. The brothers knew very well. But their objective was not the money. Their objective was not the wealth. And the objective was not a sale of Yusuf. The objective was to get rid of Yusuf, so they will get all the attention of their father. So because in order to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam, they were ready to be contented with a very, very small price. Whatever it is, take it. You know, people want to get rid of something, say, but anything you have, give me it and go. Anything you have. So it's the same thing. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. بَخْسٍ means very little. And they sold him for a reduced price, a very little price. دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. Few dirhams. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And they were contented with a very little. And so, Yusuf alayhi salam, a young boy, strapped up and tied up, was carried onto the shores of Egypt. The people of the caravan did not want him as a slave. He's a young boy, 7 years of age. What work can he do? So they put him in the market for sale. And they started to call prices. And people bid it for a higher and higher price. And as I mentioned, the highest price was the weight of Yusuf alayhi salam in gold, was the price for Yusuf. People, the normal people and ordinary people, were not able to pay such a price. They were not wealthy. The wealthiest man was the wazir of Egypt. The wazir means the governor and not the king. Not the king, the governor. Meaning, he, this wazir, was the minister of finance. He was deputed by the king to look over the treasury of Egypt. His name was Qatfir. He was a very honest person who eventually, at the hands of Yusuf, accepted Islam. And the king at that time, his name was Rayyan bin Usaid, who also accepted Islam through the hands of Yusuf alayhi salam, and lived as a Muslim and died through during the period of Yusuf alayhi salam as a Muslim. He was the king of Egypt at that time. He was the king of Egypt at that time. And the wazir was the person who got the opportunity to purchase Yusuf alayhi salam. So
He purchased Yusuf alayhi salam. And he brought the little boy Yusuf in his home. And when he looked at Yusuf and he realized that this boy looks at a very, very intelligent boy, he said to his wife. His wife's name was Zulaikha. Yusuf and Zulaikha. That is eventually after the death of Qatfir, Yusuf entered into a marriage with Zulaikha. So, what did he say? Qatfir, the minister of finance, the treasurer of the king. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ. And the one who had purchased Yusuf from Egypt said, لِمْرَأَتِهِ, to his wife, Zulaikha, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, make his stay in this house a comfortable one. Don't let him undertake hardships. Make his stay and his residence in this house a comfortable one. Why? عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا. Perhaps he may cause us some benefits. Perhaps he may bring some benefits to us. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Or we may adopt him as a son, or we may take him as a son, because Qatfir and his wife did not have any children. So looking at this handsome young person, he said, maybe if it is nothing, at least we can adopt him as our son. Allah says, at that point in time, jumlatun mu'tarida, a sentence which Allah interjects with. The entire incident is going on, and Allah puts a very important message. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Thus, did we give Yusuf authority in the land? This was the beginning of the authority of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah says, look what he caused to happen. Yusuf is living in Canaan with his father and his family. How is Yusuf going to reach Egypt? He will want to become the Nabi of Egypt, but he's in Canaan. All the things fell in place like a puzzle that is made up. They, being envious, placing him in the well. The caravan losing the journey, got lost. Throwing the bucket, bringing him, selling him in the marketplace. He ends up in the house of the treasurer, Qatfir. Allah says, this is how we made him establish on the land of Egypt. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And so that we established him there, so that we may teach him from the interpretations of dreams. تَعْوِيلُ الْأَحَادِيثِ. So we will endow him, and we will give to him, and we'll bestow upon him with this malaka and this ability to interpret any dream. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. And Allah is dominant over his affair. Allah is ghalib. In other words, Allah has full of a power over all his affair. So this Yusuf, who is sold as a slave, he, Allah, is the one who has the power to change that and make him the one who is the governor of Egypt now, not a slave of Egypt. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, but most of mankind do not understand the decree and the power of Allah. They do not understand how Allah works. And they do not understand what Allah does. They do not understand it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take how he took the Anbiya's, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an orphan who became the leader of the Arabian people, an orphan. And all the other Anbiya's like that, Allah is ghalib over the affair. So that part, Yusuf alayhi salam continued to live in the house of Qatfir, the wazir. He continued to do khidmat. And he grew up until he became a young person. fine young man. Allah speaks about that now. Because the purpose is not a story. The purpose is that which is the objective to teach us a lesson about what was the real incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. So what he used to do, that is irrelevant. Now, it's time for nubuwwat. What does Allah say?
وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا.
And when he, Yusuf, reached the age of maturity, we gave to him حُكْمًا, sound judgment, that will become a judge amongst the people with the decree of Allah. وَعِلْمًا. And we bestowed upon him ilm. We bestowed upon him knowledge. So Allah says that when he reached the age of maturity, we bestowed upon him hukma wa ilma, sound judgment and ilm, which represents nabuwat. When he reached that age of maturity, we made him a nabi and a prophet. At what age did he become a nabi? What age is spoken about here? What is the age that is mentioned here? According to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and his students like Mujahid and Qatada, famous Mufassirin, well-renowned and world-renowned commentators of the Holy Quran who are authorities on the tafsir of the Holy Quran, they mention that this occurred at the age of 33 years. This occurred at the age of 33 years. Dhahak, who is a well-renowned great Mufassir, said, according to the narrations that reach him, it was 20 years. And Hassan Basri, who was the famous Tabi'i, great Muhaddis and Faqih, he says it occurred at the age of 40 years. Whatever it is, it was an age that Allah had chosen for him that he became a Nabi at that time, a prophet. So now prophethood was bestowed upon him. Prophethood was bestowed upon him. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And thus, similar, do we reward those people who do good. A very beautiful lesson here for all mankind. That no matter what situations may come over a person, as long as he keeps on doing that which is good, Allah will surely reward him in different ways. Allah will surely reward him. No matter if odds are against him, if family members are against him, look at the incident Allah has given to us. A family of 12 brothers, and 10 of them hate one, and 10 of them have gathered to kill him, and they were envious of him. Blood relation did not bring about affection for their younger brother, but it shows us what family can do also. Go all out to destroy that one so they may get attention. Allah says, throughout all of that, Yusuf alayhi salam continued to have sabr and patience and continued to do what he knew was good. Allah says, we recognize the good deeds that he did, and this is how we reward the doers of good, that we give them something. We give them something in return. So if a person is going through difficult times in this world, but he continues to do good actions, he ensures that what he must do, he does it, then one day Allah will give something really good to him. And it's like Allah saying to him, this is a reward for the good deeds that you have kept on doing over the period of time. So Allah is saying, O Yusuf, this nabuwat and prophethood we are giving to you is a reward for that sabr, that patience, and that constancy you remain on. Even though everything was against you, you were sold as a slave, but you kept on being steadfast in that which you have learned from your father, who was a prophet. So we are rewarding you with this great gift of nabuwat and prophethood. And through wahi, Yusuf alayhi salam was informed by Allah that after reaching the soils of Egypt, he should not inform his family members about his whereabouts. It was easy for him to send a note. So many people are moving to Canaan. He can tell them, tell my father Yaqub that Yusuf is safe. Allah wanted something out of the incident. Allah had already planned the incident. So he said, Yusuf, don't disclose to them. Let the brothers think that you have died and gone away with. One good day you will teach them a lesson. So Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Similarly, do we reward the doers of good.
وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
A great test came in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was extremely handsome. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when he met Yusuf on the night of Mi'raj and he looked at Yusuf, he realized that the entire beauty Allah has given half to Yusuf and half to the world. Beauty in its entirety. So the beauty that the world has in it, out of that beauty comes handsome people and beautiful people. Okay? Their looks. Out of the beauty comes the beautiful creations that Allah has created, that we look and we see how beautiful is the creation. Out of the beauty, it is the beautiful moon we see. How illuminating, nuraniyat, beautiful. The twinkling stars that strikes the attention of human beings towards it, and we have no choice except to look at it and say, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, what a beautiful creation. And all of that put together is half of the beauty, and Yusuf was given half. Can we imagine what beauty Allah had given to Yusuf alayhi salam? And he was living in the house of the wazir, the governor. And the governor's wife was a human being, not an angel. The beauty of Yusuf captivated her heart towards Yusuf. Yusuf was still a slave in the house. He worked. He continued to work. And she was about to seduce him. She wanted to seduce him. And she started to seduce him in words so that he can turn towards her. She said to him, now Yusuf alayhi salam was caught in a difficult situation because he has no house of his own that he can say, this is mine and let me go to my home. He lived in the house. The woman was his master because, you know, they purchased him. As a slave, he had to abide by whatever they said. Sit there, he had to sit there. Stand there, he had. That he's a slave. So he was caught between those difficulties. That they have the upper hand on him. She started to say to him, how beautiful is your hair? He said, when death overtakes me, the hair shall be the first thing to be separated from my body. She said, how beautiful are your eyes? He said, very soon when death comes to me, my eyes will turn to water and flow upon my face. She said, how beautiful is your face? He said, the face is nothing but food for the dirt. For certainly when I die, the dirt will eat this flesh apart. And she used all sorts of things. But Yusuf alayhi salam is not giving in. What did she do? The Holy Quran says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. She, in whose house Yusuf was in, was determined to seduce him. عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, from his own self. A trial to Yusuf alayhi salam. What she did? وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and she locked all the doors and kept Yusuf alayhi salam in the room. She locked all the doors and kept him in a room. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, and she said, come to me. Come to me. قَالَ, When Yusuf heard that, he said, Ma'adha Allah, I fear Allah, Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful lesson, young man. Ma'adha Allah, I fear Allah. Innahu Rabbi, Ahsana Mathwai. Remember my master, you are the wife of my master. And my master have given me a very good residence. My master has given me a place here. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Wrongdoers will never succeed in life. And if I do anything to displease my master, who is Qatfir, I will be a wrongdoer. I will not succeed in life.
وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك. قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمون. ولقد همت به بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربي كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسي. And the woman in whose house he was
sought to seduce him.
وغلقت الأبواب وقالت حيث لك. And she locked the doors and she said to him, come to me. قال معاذ الله. Yusuf alayhi salam said, I seek refuge in Allah. Innahu Rabbi, He, my master, Ahsana Mathwai, has made my residence comfortable. Innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. Certainly the wrongdoers do not succeed. The ayat before, Allah said, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And when Yusuf alayhi salam reached the age of maturity, we bestowed upon him sound judgment, wa ilma, and knowledge, which was another word of saying that we made him a prophet. Wa kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. And thus do we reward the doers of good. In that Yusuf alayhi salam had passed through many trials, but at each stage he remained firm and steadfast in doing good actions. As a reward to those good actions, Allah says, we are giving you this great gift of Nabuwat and prophethood. After becoming a prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam was confronted with one of the worst trials of his life. Remember that at this stage, Yusuf alayhi salam was still, in the eyes of the people, a slave. He was still a slave in the house of the master, Aziz. The Aziz of Misr, the governor of Misr. And Yusuf alayhi salam was a very, very handsome person. Allah bestowed upon him a great amount of that. And Zulaikha, who was the wife of the wazir and the Aziz, she was the mistress of the house, and the governor was the mistress of the house, and that was the house in which Yusuf alayhi salam had to live in. The woman, she was overcome with the love of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was their slave. And once she tried to seduce him. He was in a situation where he has no other house he can turn to as his own house. He cannot leave from that place to run away because of the fact that he is a slave. If he runs away, then he will be caught and brought back to the same place. So she sought to seduce him. She locked the doors. And she and him, both of them were alone in the house. And she said, come to me. And the riwayat mentions where she started to use words to seduce him about his beauty, about his face, about his body, about his skin. And for each time he said something, Yusuf alayhi salam had a reply for him. Such a reply that reminded her of the hereafter. So the Holy Quran said, وَغَلَّقَتِ
الْأَبْوَابُ, and she locked the doors.
Although he used the word for the woman in another ayat saying Imra'at al-Aziz, he was the wife of the Aziz. She was the wife of the Aziz. She was the wife of the governor. Allah used the word Imra'at al-Aziz, the wife of the governor. But in this ayat here, Allah did not use the word the wife of the governor, although she was the wife of the governor. But look at the eloquence of the speech and the message Allah wants to bring across to us, that she in whose house he was living in. It was easy to say the wife of the governor, because Allah used the ayat in another, in the same surah, Imratul Aziz, the wife of the governor. But here, rather than saying the wife of the governor, Allah said that woman in whose house he was living in, she sought to seduce him. What is the message? The message is to tell us the severe trial Yusuf was placed in. Not his house. She was the mistress. She was the owner of the house and she was the owner of Yusuf. He was a slave. And as a slave, you have a master. And your master can use you in any way he wishes to. So bringing that message to us, to try to understand the great trial, Yusuf had no place to turn to. He had no home of his own. He had no family members. And he was caught in this great trial. So Allah says, the woman in whose house he was living in, she sought to seduce him. And she locked all the doors. Abawab, more than one door. Ghallaqat al-abwab, all the doors on the different sides. And she said to him, Haytalak, come to me. Seducing him, come to me. Qala, Yusuf alayhi salam finding himself in such a situation. He was a human being, like the other prophets of Allah. They eat, they drink, they marry, they have children. So they are not void of the qualities of other human beings. So if other people do not get food for a day, they will feel hungry, so Nabi will also feel hungry. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have stones tied onto his stomach to remove the hunger. And this is why he used to tie his waist when he stands for ibadat in the night of Ramadan, because of the weakness. You know, it tends to affect you. You tie your waist so it creates some firmness within yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fell unconscious in his last sickness before he left the face of the earth. So he was struck with an arrow in the battle of Uhud, and blood started to flow from his blessed face. So it's not like an angel. If the arrow strikes you, it will pass through your body and reach on the other side. So Yusuf alayhi salam was in that situation. But he was a Nabi of Allah. He was a righteous man. The first thing Yusuf alayhi salam looked towards was Allah. He said, Ma'ad Allah. Qala Ma'ad Allah. He told her, I seek refuge in Allah. How can you invite me towards such a sin? Such an evil deed. I seek refuge in Allah. I entrust myself in the care of Allah. Because Yusuf realized there is no way to turn. The doors are locked. With locks on the doors. There is no one he can call out to help. She is the mistress of the house. She is the owner of Yusuf. He is a slave in the house. Where will he turn to? No physical support and help. Who can rush towards him, break open the doors and save Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah from such a sin. And from this, the mufassirin and commentators of the Holy Quran have deduced a beautiful masla. One is that whenever a person is in the midst of any trial or temptation, he should always turn towards Allah. Because we do not have the strength and power to overcome trials. But the real power and strength is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can give the power and the strength to us. And Allah can make us come out of a situation, no matter how impossible it might be to come out from. But to Allah belongs all power and strength. He said, Ma'ad Allah. Then that is the first lesson he gave to her. I seek refuge in Allah. Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Mathway. He, referring to the husband now, he is my master. And he has given me a beautiful and comfortable place to stay. How can I do anything that will affect him? So in this other statement, according to many of the Mufassirin and commentators, that he was pointing towards gratitude towards someone who had been kind to him. That he, your husband, he is my master. He has been kind to me. That he had purchased me from the bazaars where I was being sold as a slave. And he has brought me into this kingdom. And he has brought me into this palace. And he has given me every single comfort and luxury, a place to stay, food to eat, drinks. How could I do anything to hurt him and harm him? I cannot do that. He is mine Rabb. He is mine master. In those days, among the Israelites prophets and the other prophets, it was permissible to call a master Rabb. That is a word that is used. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in our deen and in our religion, it is not permissible to call any human being Rabb. But in those days it was permissible, Rabbi, because Rabb literally means a master or a leader. So therefore, a slave who is owned by a person literally means he is the Rabb, he is the master. So referring to this, he says, he is my master, Ahsana Mathwai, he has given me a comfortable residence and a place. So you also, you have been living with him so long, you are his wife, he has been so kind to you. Will you do such a heinous crime? Will you hurt him like that, that you are inviting me towards the sin? That if only for a few days I have remained in this house, I have lived, and I have to show my gratitude to him, what about you, who have lived so many years of your life with him? How much more you should be grateful to him in not committing such a sin? Other commentators have mentioned here that when Yusuf alayhi salam referred to innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai, that he mine Rabb, he's referring to Allah. Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. He is mine Rabb and he is mine Lord, and he has given me a comfortable residence, because Allah is the real giver. Allah is the real giver. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, has given me such a beautiful and comfortable place, and because of this kindness, I was taken away from the streets, and I was taken away from that treatment, how the treatment which is meted out to other slaves of the streets and the community. I have to be grateful to Allah, and I am not going to allow myself to fall into such a sin, such an immoral act in front of my Rabb. I cannot do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been too kind to me. So he was placing before her two things. One is that, what about Allah? Don't you fear Allah? And the other thing is, remember the kindness of one upon you. And when you acknowledge the kindness of Allah, then you will have to tell yourself, how can I be ungrateful to Allah? How can I be disobedient to Allah when Allah has been so kind towards me? Then he says to her, if you do it, and if you try to seduce me, and you fall into this sin, you will be a wrongdoer. Know well that the law of Allah is that wrongdoers never ever succeed in life. A transgressor who transgresses the limits of Allah, one who is dishonest, one who has crossed and broken the limits and the borders that has been set by Allah, that poor person, temporarily, in the eyes of other men, he may seem to be going good, but he will never succeed. That is a principle with Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Certainly, wrongdoers and transgressors never succeed in life. And that's a true thing. If we also want to look around, and if you want to study the lives of people, we will realize that is a fact and that is true. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ
بِهَا.
Certainly, she was determined to seduce him. She was determined to seduce him. So, she had taken care of all those things that was necessary to stop him from running away. All the things. The master was not around, the Aziz, the governor. She caught Yusuf alayhi salam doing work inside of the compound in the house. And she got all the doors locked, and Yusuf did not have any keys for any. So he was in that situation. If the door is locked, if he's going to run towards it, he will bounce up himself to the door. She will catch him there. So the Quran says that she was determined, she was really determined. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And she was determined to seduce him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he was being forced towards her, because he had no way to go. He had no road to run. He had no door to run through. So he was being forced because of the situation he was in, being owned by these people. He doesn't have a choice of his own. If he does not give in, then they can punish him. They can sell him in the streets. They can do so many things with him. So he was forced. لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. Had he not seen the burhan and the proof and the evidence of his Rabb and his Lord. So what the tafsir says, the commentary, the ayat of the Holy Quran says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him a sign. And that sign that he saw, it made him grow stronger in faith. And with that strength of faith that was increased in him, it made him stronger in not giving in to whatever the woman was seducing him to do. Now at times, like as Imam Bukhari says in his book, Al-Imanu Yazidu wa Yanqusu, Iman goes up and it comes down. It increases and decreases. Sometimes the believer will find himself very strong, and he wants to do a lot of actions of ibadat and worship, and he feels inclined and he feels so close towards Allah, making dua, and his thoughts are always on Allah. And at other times he becomes a little weak. Because of the weakness, he doesn't feel like the way he felt before. Like in Ramadan, our iman, alhamdulillah, because of the amount of actions, it's strong. So even though the desire is there to do something that is wrong or say something is wrong, because of the strength of the iman within the person at that time, he refrains from it and says, I am not going to say such, and I am not going to listen to that because it is wrong. So the iman is strong. But then when it weakens after Ramadan, and people are confronted with trials, then the strength which is needed to pull back and withdraw a person and remove him, it is not there anymore. So he may fall into minor sins and sometimes into major sins. Now, at that time, if he's reminded of something, or if he does some good act, he visits the house of Allah, he gets up for tahajjud and he makes tawbah, then the iman is strengthened again. It is strengthened again. It is revived again into him. And there is a new strength of that iman now, which carries him along. So what we see in our normal lives is that sometimes when the iman seems to be decreasing, at certain occurrences, it builds back up. Yusuf alayhi salam was in this trial. Yusuf alayhi salam was surrounded by the temptation. He did not give in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he would have been forced to do it had he not seen the proof and evidence of his Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word burhan. What is burhan? Many of the commentators, like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, most famous of the commentators among the Sahabas, his students like Mujahid, Sa'id bin Jubair, alayhim ar-Rahma, Muhammad bin Sirin, the Imam of Dreams and the famous Muhaddis at his time, their interpretation and their tafsir of the word Burhan, what is this evidence? Because Allah is saying that if Yusuf alayhi salam did not see that, he would have been forced by the woman to fall prey to the temptation because of the situation and the trial he was in. So the Quran establishes the fact that there is something that Yusuf alayhi salam saw. Allah says that, لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي, had he not seen the evidence of his Rabb. What is this evidence of the Rabb? These scholars whose names I have mentioned, they say that the Burhan and the evidence of the Rabb was that at that particular moment, when he was in the midst of that trial, and this, there is taqdim and ta'khir, the Holy Quran, the verses are not mentioned in sequence in many surahs, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, He gives us the, you know, the main objective of the surah and the lesson we can learn from the surah. So it would have been that when Yusuf alayhi salam was young before Nabuwat. So at that time, Yusuf alayhi salam, it is stated, saw the figure of his father Yaqub alayhi salam looking at him. He saw the figure, one of the most famous commentary. He saw the figure of his father Yaqub alayhi salam. And just the face of his father was enough to bring back and revive that strength of Iman which is within him. His father was a Nabi. And seeing the figure of Yaqub alayhi salam was the Burhan and the evidence.